SOR.
Now, to the weekend in sport, and I'm joined in studio by Damien Lawler, presenter of RTE's GAA podcast, Colm Keyes, GAA correspondent with the Irish Independent, and Sarah O'Donovan, Camogie All-Ireland winner with Cork, now playing with Dublin. Lots to get through. We can't go into extra time here, so let's start at Páirc Uí Chaoimh yesterday. I know Cork weren't playing, Sarah, but it was a great occasion for Cork GAA to have the park back in action. Lots of colour, good hurling matches. Then the draw this morning, Cork and Waterford.
Yes. Now, Cork people will say that Waterford have all the pressure on them this time around, I think, having gone to their third semi-final in a row. So Cork have no expectation coming into the semi-final by comparison. I'm going to play this one right down. Absolutely.
You cannot be serious, if I can borrow a phrase from another code.
I am. I'm serious. Wexford, Waterford are the guys who need to win this one over Cork. Cork are building.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll come back to the draw maybe a little later.
Come back to the spin later. Yeah.
Pups for sale. Colm, what did you think of the two hurling matches, the hurling quarterfinals?
I was a little bit disappointed with them, Sean. Having looked back at them, they didn't really take off. Even Tip and Clare, where you would have expected a little bit more freedom in the play, never really caught hold. And yesterday, obviously, didn't either. Tactical game, very similar to the Waterford-Clare trilogy of games, the two league finals, obviously without the dramatic finish of the equaliser last year or the Tony Kelly's winner last year. But the three Waterford-Clare games, and obviously the two managers, Derek McGrath and Davy Fitzgerald, play a certain style. So it never really caught hold. I thought Waterford were always pretty comfortable, and they look a vastly improved team to that which played against Cork in the Munster Championship. You must remember they came off an 11 week break from their last league match and went into that a little bit cold against the Cork team that had so much momentum against Tipperary. So I think the dynamic has shifted a little bit back in their favour.
Damien?
Yeah, I think the Tipperary game was quite open. I think Tipperary were there to be got at. As soon as Clare got the second goal, they dropped Brendan Maher back, and they dropped Ronan Maher back a little bit, and it helped cut off the supply. Clare had, I think, some like 16 wide, Sean, and it was poor. But I think afterwards, their co-manager, Donal Maloney, said he learned more in 8 months with that team as a senior setup than years at underage level, where they've had great success. Yesterday was a tough game to watch. At one stage, one of the Waterford wing-backs fed his keeper, you know, when he could have gone forward. But I have to respect the stance that both Derek and Davy have taken. They feel that their players are more suited to this system. Waterford looked like they certainly are. I felt Wexford could have pushed up a little bit more near the end to try and take the game. But it is what it is. Hurling's evolving, and I suppose change is good.
Yeah, and how big a worry, I'm just wondering, is that Tadhg De Burka red card for Waterford? It's a big blow.
It's a huge worry. I think it's huge, but and I expect the suspension will probably stick. I don't know now, but the video doesn't really shed a lot of light. And the linesman was right beside it. And you have to ask, is a linesman, regardless of Tadhg De Burka's reputation, unfortunately for him, doesn't count. Did he pull the face guard or not? The linesman was very, very close to it to make that decision instantly and communicate to the referee. So you'd have to say, yeah, it would be very, very difficult to overturn the suspension. And he's pivotal for them. Having said that, Dara Fives can also play that role pretty well. They're very used. He can seamlessly fit in. But De Burka is superb. He is the best sweeper, even though Sean Murphy had a great game for Wexford yesterday. But as a sweeper, he's superb.
Waterford, and the whole, have to
Waterford
appeal it.
Yeah, Waterford will appeal it. Of course, they have to. But whether he gets off
on
or not.
On hot grounds, yeah.
Well, okay, his run was impeded, first of all. The game was in the 66th minute. His run was impeded. The referee didn't see the incident. The YouTube footage I saw isn't all that conclusive to me. It didn't look to be an out-and-out grab of your face guard. For a guy who has a blemish record, counts for nothing on the day. I just feel that it's not cut and dry. I think that they have to go and appeal it anyway, and make a strong case.
But looking at the footage, his face guard is swinging loose, and that didn't come loose by itself, you know. So unfortunately, if you go to the letter of the law, the face guard was opened, so he'll have to be.
Well, Davy Fitz taking umbrage at some of the comment by the RTA analyst Michael Dignan, said he hadn't managed a top class team and having a go at our other analyst as well.
He managed the Meath hurler, Sean. That's big business many, many years ago. But look,
you got to win as
if
well.
You're restricting comment to only those who have patrolled the sideline, well, there'll be very, very few people talking about the game. So Michael Deignan is a respected...
And Henry Shefflin, he had a problem with Henry as well, yeah.
With 10 All-Ireland medals. So these guys are very much entitled to their opinion. Having said that, Davy Fitzgerald and Derek McGrath are cutting their cloth to suit the teams that they have. You must remember, when Derek McGrath implemented the sweeper system, he came back off a really poor campaign in 2014 where they conceded four or five goals in Nolan. It was at a league match in Nolan Park and they were ripped apart by Kilkenny. And they had to come back with a plan which made them much more difficult to beat. And it hasn't always been easy for them either. They conceded five goals to Tipperary, but they need that level of protection to prevent goals from going in. And it's worked for them.
Sarah, moving to football, Cork at least restoring their pride. They could have taken Mayo.
They could have.
In that sparsely populated Gaelic grounds in Limerick on Saturday. Well, certainly
sparsely
if you're looking
in
at the
Cork
ends.
Behalf.
I was actually at the Mayo and Derry game a few weeks ago, and it is true, Mayo fans do travel, and they got a standing ovation at the end of that game, and Derry should have won that game as well. I was in Castlebar for that game, and yesterday Cork looked like they wanted to play, and that was the most important part. Sean Powter, great goal. Luke Connolly, great goal. Yeah, and that's what you have to look at the end of the day. They've lost a game, but those boys wanted to wear the Cork jersey, and that's the starting point, and I think that's where we have to go from.
Yeah, and I know people say, oh look, you know, you can't see past the Dubs, Kerry and perhaps Tyrone, but you know what, none of those teams have had a hard match so far in this championship, whereas Mayo, you'd certainly say the opposite.
Well, I think the depressing thing for Mayo is, can they get their legs right for a game coming again pretty soon? And they've been involved in one or two instances of extra time, but like, they're showing immense character. I think Cork pushed them to the pin of their collar, but they are showing immense mental strength to bounce back every single year, and I don't know, will it be taken out of them by the time they get to Croke Park again? Will their legs suffer? They have unbelievable conditioning levels, but they certainly made it hard for themselves on Saturday night now.
Yeah, they're not putting teams away. That's a real concern. When they had an opportunity to go and beat Galway even in the Connacht semi-final, they didn't put them away. They didn't put Derry away, obviously, till extra time. Even Clare, the couple of goals just made the difference. They are not killing teams in the way that Dublin, Tyrone are making it easy for themselves. You say they haven't had a hard game. I contend that they are playing at a level that they are just leaving everybody trailing in their wake. That
was they're dicing with danger. sorry, you're talking about the Dublin, I beg your pardon.
Yeah,
sorry.
They are so strong. Dublin,
the Mayo are dicing with danger. The Dubs
yes,
are just
yes. Mayo
so
just
far
haven't
ahead,
hit
yes.
that level of form. And obviously, their resilience long before this year, their resilience to keep coming back has never been questioned. I think it's even been embellished so much. But they're not putting average teams away, and that's a real concern. Real concern going into Cork. Having said that, I think they might just get by Roscommon again and into an All-Ireland semi-final, probably with Kerry. So I still think we'll be left with the four best teams.
Well, according to Joe Brawley, it's certainly going to be Kerry. They're going to murder Galway. Nice to see them back in Croke Park nonetheless.
The glint in your eye.
In an unbiased way. It's terribly sad to see what happened to Donegal.
Yeah, well, I mean, if any game was going to go to extra time at the weekend, I would thought it might have been Donegal and Galway. And both myself and Colin were up at Markovitch Park on Saturday night. Massive Donegal following, wasn't there, Colin? Like,
of course, at Sligo, it was tipped in their favour, yeah. I suppose, to come down to Sligo. There was almost 11,000.
Bang, bang. Like, Johnny Heaney rang up from midfield, got on the end of two goals, but made the lung-busting runs. And Donegal looked shell-shocked. They couldn't win any kick out of their own or the opposition. I just felt, I don't know what you thought, guys, but I just felt Galway were simply, their attitude was right and they were hungrier than they had been in the Connacht final.
And they made a show of themselves in the second half. Well, sorry, in long periods in that Connacht final.
Against Roscommon.
Though they did get back within 3 points of them and then kind of an all fell asunder.
I mean, they have forwards to die for on paper, and they had a dream season last year up to a point, and they look well this year up to a point. So they have a lot to...
I think Donegal invested a lot to stay in Division 1 this year of the league. I thought they put an awful lot into it. They drew at Dublin. They've lost 9 players, 6 to retirement, albeit some of those weren't really in the first team last year. Yeah. They were peripheral. So the level of change in personnel has been seismic for Donegal. And I think the effort... Michael Murphy,
minutes,
obviously,
you know?
they self-imploded in that regard. But the game was gone at that stage. They had to try something. Obviously, you would keep one or two players back. And they ran out of... They obviously used their quota of subs and then had to play the last half hour with 13 men, all their own fault.
On a wider level, the advantage rule was under the scrutiny last weekend. And the black cards, I felt, you didn't know what sort of a car was coming over the weekend.
Well, Lee Keegan got another black card, you know what I mean? It just seems really high profile guys go hitting for the wrong kind of challenge.
Michael Murphy's was a yellow card. I mean, he's entitled to plant his foot on the ground to make a tackle. I don't think it must be deliberate. Mm. And I would question whether Michael Murphy and certainly Cottle Sweeney for the penalty. So issues again with the black card keep coming back up. It's far from clear cut and it really is burdening referees at this stage.
Okay, to move to other sports, they say there's been never quite a recovery in the history of the British Open in golf, like we saw from Jordan Spieth yesterday. I mean, he was out on his feet, things were going wrong, the commentators were predicting, oh, he's looking shaky, he's hesitating over this short putt, you know, is it all going to fall asunder? And then it did, and he put it back together again.
It was probably the greatest bogey in the history of major golf, where he came from, and after the delay to be able to get a bogey, it left him 7 under, and he finishes the last 5 holes in 5 under in an Open Championship. It was quite an incredible recovery where he came from, set in the context of his implosion in last year's Masters. Yeah,
but the psychologists are going to be writing about this for years, if not decades.
Like Rory McIlroy credited his mini recovery halfway through around with JP, his caddy. Spieth did the same. Mm. His caddy halfway through reminded him of a picture he had taken with Michael Jordan and Phelps.
Yes.
And said, you belong in this company. Get back to playing to the level you're at. And Spieth did that, you know.
I thought that was fascinating to be able to call on your caddy to do that again. It just shows the level of importance they have on the course of play, you know. Really, really enjoying it.
But it was like, again, if he had ended up just, you know, sort of being 6 over for the last 5 holes, nobody would have been surprised, bearing in mind the way, wayward can you be with a driver?
He would have 2 major titles and 2 collapses on his
car. And his middle name would be Choker.
Yeah, he could actually have, at this stage of his career, and he's 23, he could have 5 major titles.
At least.
But he's the 23, Open Championship, you know, that's incredible.
But he could have actually 5 major titles by now.
But I mean, Rory sparkled as well. It's just there was non-sparkle sort of intermingled with it, wasn't there?
It's unfortunate, but look, he is obviously playing quite well, but just not well enough, because if you want to be the world number one, you have to play exceptionally well, which is what Spieth did.
And yet Rory McIlroy is still the player that people in golf are drawn to, and you know, they say the attendances are slipping away, but as long as he is there, I don't think Jordan Spieth draws in an audience quite like Rory.
He doesn't,
because he's a safe pair of hands and
he's
methodical.
Sweet as pie, you know.
He's methodical. Rory is just different.
Are you saying now he's too wholesome or something like that?
He's an American wholesome guy. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. He is a bit like McIlroy is human and he has flaws. And I think
McIlroy called him a stud after the end of yesterday. You know, whatever that's meant to be. Whatever that's meant to convey.
I can't comment on that. Where'd you go from there? I just think McIlroy's, he's so flawed. If he has a collapse, he's so honest about it. He does it all in the public eye as well. And there's probably more ups and downs of McIlroy, isn't there?
There is, of course. And he's very honest, I mean, in his commentary and in his interviews. And again, that draws people in. Yeah. He says it as it is. And
now, what about the Tour de France? Chris Froome winning, is it 4 out of the last 5? And yet there's a withholding of love there.
Well,
isn't
I mean,
there?
I think the coverage, you know, compared to other major international sporting events, probably is maybe down a notch. Certainly, I think Dan Martin had an incredible finish from an Irish perspective. Mm-hmm. Came sixth, he was 9th last year. And I think that his achievements have been underplayed, and maybe it's because of a general level of distrust around that tour. But like Dan had nearly 8 top 10 finishes, came second and third, and apart from that crash he had where he lost 1 minute 15 seconds, I think, for a 30-year-old guy to aggressively fight his way back. So his achievements have been downplayed, even though he's incrementally making progress every single year, because I presume people look at the bigger picture and they don't know what they can.
I think people have switched off the Tour de France as a spectacle, as an event, as something to get into. I mean, I know when I was growing up, the Channel 4 coverage on an evening at 6:30, I'd race home and watch Roach Kelly. I've turned off it. I have to say, I've turned off it. I do not tune in. I look, obviously, see how it's going. But as regards actually getting into it and following it at that level.
Have people been just fooled too often?
What I don't like about it is you can win the Tour de France without ever winning a stage. Surely you should win one match before you win bloody Tour de France, you know. So Chris Froome managed to win it without ever winning
a
stage.
Somebody who was winning more than one medal, second gold of the World Paraathletics Championship for Michael McKillop, another supreme performance in London on Saturday evening.
So seven medals, it equals the tally we had in the last games as well, but we've got an extra gold. And I think with McKillop and Jason Smith, their achievements have frankly been staggering. And I think that the whole movement is growing in Ireland. More funding certainly required. Interestingly, I think Jason Smith is hitting the 30 mark. He's starting work experience this week in retail investment banking and the financial sector as well. So he's got one eye on the future. McKillop is a few years younger, performing to incredible levels to win the 800 and 1500 metres.
And Cork, not to be outdone in the glory stakes either.
Three
Neil McCarthy, Orla Barry and Noel Lenehan.
All Cork ladies, all winning silver. So holding up their end of the bargain, certainly the three Cork ladies. So well done to them.
What I love about that is, though, it could get more attention, right? But the levels of coverage are quite decent. Oh. But Team Ireland have been making progress for the last 6 years on this, and it's great to see.
Okay, grant application granted, I suspect, when they come looking for more money. We'll leave it there for now. Damien Lawler, Colm Keyes and Sarah O'Donovan, thank you all for being with us. A look at some news headlines. It'll be Thursday before the water supply is restored to homes and businesses in Drogheda. On this programme, an independent councillor and former mayor of Drogheda, Kevin Callan, said 100,000 people have been affected by water failure. The High Court has refused a second application by French authorities to have Ian Bailey extradited to face trial over the death of Sophie Toscan de Plantier more than 20 years ago. And a man in his 40s has died from his injuries after he was struck by a car near Thomond Park in Limerick in the early hours of this morning. That's our lot for today. Thank you for listening. Bronwyn Quillen, our broadcast coordinator, Elaine Devlin, the producer, Jamie Doyle on sound, Hannah Parks on research, and over now to Ronan Collins.
Thank you, Sean.